I title the lesson, The Tradition of Easter. The Tradition of Easter. Easter, as we celebrate it, is a tradition. I repeat, Easter, as you and I have seen it celebrated, not just in Jamaica, but in most places in the western part of the world, is a tradition. And Jesus Christ addresses tradition in the Jewish audience that he stood before and spoke to. Among the things we find from the passage that was read by Chad, and there are some other passages, is that human religious tradition have the tendency of replacing and nullifying God's word. I repeat, Jesus Christ tells us in the passage that was read in Matthew 50 that human religious tradition has the tendency of replacing God's word and nullifying God's word or undermining God's word. Once we start adopting human tradition, the tradition of men going to have a negative effect on God's word. In fact, let us hear the passage again. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1 through verse 6. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, 22. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Let us hear these passages. Read. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. Notice what their interest and what their emphasis was. Now, these were religious leaders. These were men who believe in the true God. Notice the question is, why your disciple transgress the tradition of the fathers? They did not come with Jesus Christ with the word of God. It is not why your disciple transgress the word of God. Read on. For they wash not their hands when they eat. Read. Jesus Christ going to respond in kind. Christ answered and said, why do you also transgress? Watch here now. Not the tradition of men. That is not Jesus' emphasis. Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Notice that whenever man-made tradition is held up or practiced, it nullifies the word of God. It is, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? In other words, it's your religious tradition that caused you to push God's commandment aside. May I, in fact, notice also passage like Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 and 22, what it says about man's tradition. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world,
why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?
Touch not.
Taste not.
Handle not.
Which all are to perish with the using.
Uh-huh.
After the commandments and doctrines of men.
After the commandments and the doctrines
of men.
Or the word doctrines, they can also be translated the tradition of men. So here Paul is also speaking against the tradition of men. Notice another passage in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6.
Now we command you, brethren,
Paul, being inspired, writing to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, said, we command you, brethren.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And it
Christ,
is by the authority of Jesus Christ.
That you withdraw yourself from? From every brother that walketh disorderly.
That walketh disorderly.
And not after the tradition which he received of us.
Now here tradition is used in a positive sense. Because here it is referring to the word of God. You see, but the two first passages shows the negative, the ungodly, and the sinful effect of man-made tradition, and especially as in comparison to the Word of God. The teachings and the practices surrounding Easter is exactly the type of teaching and practices Jesus Christ addresses in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. Where man-made tradition takes precedence, takes more importance over what the word of God teaches. Notice this. In looking on Easter, in the entire 66 books of the Bible, let me repeat that. In the entire 66 books of the Bible, there is not one place where the word Easter is used or celebrated. In the entire 66 books of the Bible, there is not one place where a Good Friday is referred to or celebrated. Now, this must be kept in mind. Why this is so important is that in the world all over, we are being told that Easter, or what people call Good Friday, is the most important day in the Christian calendar. You'll hear that on radio, on TV. You'll hear that locally and internationally. In fact, we have heard how the president of the United States wanted to open everything back by Easter. You see, and he was emphasizing how important Easter was. Now, but I need to remind you, because I'll be talking about that throughout the rest of the lesson, that in the entire 66 books of the Bible, you cannot find one place, neither in the Old Testament nor in the Gospel of Christ, not one place where either Easter is used or where Good Friday is referred to or celebrated. But before I go further, somebody might be wondering about Acts of the Apostles chapter 12 and verse 4. Acts 12 and verse 4. So let us address that before we go further. Let us read, have it read.
And when he had apprehended him, he was put into prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Intending after when?
Easter.
After when?
Easter.
But Brother Mitchell, you have just said that is not... It has not occurred one place in the Bible, and I still say that. Because the word Easter, as you see it here, is a mistranslation. It's the word Passover, referring to the Jewish Passover, which has nothing to do with Easter. The King James translator mistranslate this. It should not be there. It's the word Passover, and that was referring to the Jewish Passover. In fact, the Jewish Passover was not just a day. I think it goes on for about 8 days. The Jewish Passover was celebrated over a period of 8 to 10 days. So remember, Acts 12:4 is a mistranslation. Just study your Bible from another translation and you will discover that the proper word, Passover, is used there. Now let us go on. As I've said, world over we are told that Easter Friday, whatever they call it, is the most important day in the Christian calendar. My question is, says who? Who said that it is the most important day in the Christian calendar? May I? Jesus Christ is the founder of true Christianity. I repeat, genuine, pure Christianity was founded by Christ. And if Good Friday is the most important day in the Christian calendar, Jesus Christ had forgotten to tell us that. Jesus Christ didn't know that, and he should have known that, because he is the founder of Christianity. Amen. May I? Jesus Christ and his chosen apostle are the one who determine what is and isn't important in the Christian calendar. I repeat, Jesus Christ and his holy inspired apostles are the one who determines what is and isn't important in the Christian calendar. And as I've said, if Easter were the most important day in the Christian calendar, Jesus Christ had forgotten to tell his people. Notice Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. That Christ, it seems, had forgotten to tell us how important Easter was. Our Christ didn't know how important it was. Let us hear the passage.
But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
May I? Each of us must always remember the weight of what is being said. Though we are an angel
from heaven,
preach
any other gospel
unto you
than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
You all got it here, is that if angel comes and tell us that Easter is the most important day in the Christian calendar, we are bound to check what the apostle says on it.
Right.
Because the passage is telling us that if angel comes and preach something which the apostles of Christ did not preach, curse from God is on that angel.
Amen.
But it might not be angel. So verse 9.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any...
First he said angel. But then it might not be an angel, it might be a man coming with something that is not found in the apostles' teaching and writing. If any man teach
any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets it? So man and angel, when they bring something not found in the apostles' writing and teaching, curse is on that person.
Amen.
Here we are told by man that Easter is the most important day in the Christian calendar. Nowhere in God's word have we been told that. But not only that, may I? The Bible. God's revelation and guide for us has left no doubt in reference to what event or what day is important to God and important in God's scheme of salvation. Let me repeat that. The Bible, which is God's revelation, it has left no doubt in the minds of anyone who studied the Bible. It has left no doubt in reference to what is important in God's sight, what event or what day is important in God's sight and in God's scheme of things. God, through his revelation, the gospel, places which important, what is important and significant in his scheme of things. Let us now notice a few things here. The death of Jesus Christ is important.
Amen. Amen.
I need to repeat that. Yeah. The death of Jesus Christ is important.
Amen.
But while the Bible emphasizes the importance and the significance of Christ's death, get this, get this. The Bible places not much emphasis on the day that Jesus Christ died. Very important. I need to repeat that. While the Bible places awesome importance on the death of Christ, because it is Jesus' death that brings us forgiveness, salvation, the Bible does not place much emphasis on the day that Christ was killed. We talk about Good Friday. There is no such thing in the Bible. In fact, in putting this lesson together, I wanted to show that when the Bible deals with death, it does not deal with death as something victorious. You know, a passage like death, where is thy sting? Where is your victory? That means when a man dies, it shows that death has victory over him. And in one sense, the mere death of Jesus Christ did not give the disciples or the apostles something to rejoice about, as we are going to see. But I repeat, it is not so much the death of Christ that we have rejoicing over. But before we get to that, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm still on the point of the importance of Jesus' death. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2.
For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
So here, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is emphasizing the importance of Christ's death. Let us turn to the same Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you.
Watch here now, read.
Unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins.
Watch here.
According to the scriptures.
I am delivering to you, Corinthians, not something from my own imagination. I receive this, meaning I receive it from God. He said, first, I shared with you, Corinthians, how that Jesus did what?
For I delivered unto you all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins.
How that Christ died for our sins. You are going to see something quite striking here. Read on.
According to the scriptures.
According to the scripture.
And that he was buried.
And that he was buried.
And that he was rose again the third day.
You notice, brother, when it talks about Jesus' death, nothing about a day came up. When it speaks about his resurrection, it tells you it was the third day. But when it speaks about his death, nothing about the day came up. Because as we are going to see in a few other passages, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that which gives Jesus' death meaning, significance. As the Bible is going to show us, Jesus' death without his resurrection would have accomplished nothing. Very important. Now, it is the death of Jesus Christ that secure our forgiveness, our salvation, and our hope. I am still emphasizing the importance of Christ's death, because if you are not careful, somebody will put the death of Christ in your face and want to squeeze in Good Friday and Easter there. So we want to show that we acknowledge the importance of Christ's death. And as I've just said, it is the death of Jesus Christ that secures our forgiveness, our salvation, and our hope. But it is Christ's resurrection on the third day, that is on a Sunday morning, that gives worth, meaning, and importance to the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, repeat that. The mere death of Jesus Christ meant nothing had he not been resurrected. Amen. Amen. Satan would be rejoicing up till now. And the Bible is going to show that. I have just said that it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives worth, meaning, and importance to his death. You all remember, we want to read that, but because there are one or two other passages. When Jesus Christ in the book of St. John chapter 11, 24 and 25 said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ was there emphasizing the importance of his resurrection. But notice Acts 1, 22. Notice Acts 4, 33. Let us hear these passages.
Beginning from the baptism of John, on that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection.
To be witness of his death. No, his resurrection, because that is what gives meaning and importance to his death.
Right.
When Matthias was chosen to replace Judas who had hung himself, the emphasis was not that they are looking for a witness of Jesus' death. It was a witness that he had been resurrected. That was 1:22. Look at Revelation, same Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 33. Don't move out of Acts for the next few minutes. Let us hear it. Acts 4, verse 2 and verse 33.
Being
and chapter 17, verse 18. Let us hear it.
Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Read again.
Being grieved that they taught the people.
That is, the Sanhedrin council and other Jews were grieved that Peter and others did what?
And preached through Jesus the
resurrection. Jesus Christ.
The resurrection from the dead.
You notice the death Christ is not the issue here. It's the resurrection from the dead. That is what gives meaning to Christ's death. Look at verse 33.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
With great power gave the apostle witness, not of his death. We know Christ died. We know that his death was important to our salvation. But where the Bible put the emphasis throughout is on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, I said that it is the Almighty God who determines what or what day is important in his scheme of things. And here we are being told that it is the resurrection where we find the Holy Spirit placing the emphasis. Read verse 33 again, and then Acts of the Apostles chapter 17 and verse 18.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
That is the emphasis. And wait. Before we go on a little further. You see, while the death of Christ is important, throughout the New Testament, the resurrection is that which is highlighted. Because without Jesus' resurrection, his death would have had no meaning. Look at chapter 17, 18, same book of Acts.
Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say?
Mm-hmm.
Others, some, he seemed to be a set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
Jesus and the resurrection. Look at 23, Acts, that is. Verse 6. Acts 23, 6.
But when Paul perceived that the one part was Sadducees,
mm-hmm.
and the other Pharisees,
mm-hmm.
he cried out in the public, men and brethren,
mm-hmm.
I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question.
You notice, Paul says, I am being prosecuted before you Jews. Why they arrest me is because I preach the resurrection of the dead. That's where the Bible, while the Bible acknowledge the importance of Jesus' death, but it is the resurrection that gives meaning to that death. And it is the resurrection that is being emphasized. Look at Acts of the Apostle, 24, verse 15 and 21.
And have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow,
uh-huh.
that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust.
Look at verse 21.
Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this
day. Remember, this is another place. The brother just read a passage a while ago in respect to the resurrection. That was, I think, in chapter 23:6. This is chapter 24, the resurrection of the dead. But look on the passage of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Quick. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable.
Notice that in all these passages, it is Paul said that I may know him. And that when he said know the power of his resurrection, that I may experience When Jesus Christ came victoriously from the grave, Paul says, I'm living to experience that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ which gives meaning to all that Jesus Christ has done.
Right.
May we look to one passage now. Not that I have only one left, but time is going. Let us turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 12 and see the terrible implication if there were no resurrection. Let us look at this passage.
Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
We'll have to end here. Let us hear a little more of that. Just read that passage again.
Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say so among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
And may I? I'm sorry. In fact, probably this lesson will be discussed because there's so much more to show. All I'm showing here is what day or what event God placed the emphasis on.
Right.
Not Easter. And this passage is one of the great passages because what we are going to see now is a chain reaction. This is going to continue from verse 12 to around verse 21.
Right.
A total chain reaction of some of the negative implication if there were no resurrection.
Right.
Paul says even preaching would be in vain if there is no resurrection.
Yeah.
And one after the other, he lists things that would have been implied had there not been the resurrection.
Right.
So God placed the emphasis not just on the resurrection, but on the day that Christ was resurrected.
Right.
I don't have time to show you that Jesus' recorded two first meeting with his apostle after he was resurrected was on a Sunday. The two occasions that tell us of Christ's two first meeting was on the first day of the week, a Sunday. The church began on a Sunday. The Holy Spirit outpouring, that Old Testament prophet prophesied about, took place on a Sunday. Christian met for worship on a Sunday. Paul commanded Christian to put offering aside on a Sunday. John in the island of Patmos got the book of Revelation on a Sunday. We will finish this another time. Thank you, Brother B. Song number five. Let's stand.
Song number five. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He is the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword, his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Singing glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us teach to make men free what God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Singing glory, glory, hallelujah. While God is marching on. Ask Brother Wilson to please pray.
Oh Lord and oh Father, we say thank you, God, again for